Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Oh, Jesus, you are altogether lovely. You're the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. You're the only wise God. To you be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Oh, a righteous God and a Savior, there's none but you. You are wonderful. You're Counselor. You're Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. With the increase of your government and peace, there'll be no end. Take us from glory to glory to glory. Take us into the abundance of heaven, the generosity of heaven, into the generosity of your heart poured out for us. Take us farther, deeper, higher, wider, to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, God, your promises are good. We love you. Oh, God, the best thing of all is you love us. You love us. Just say he loves me. Say you love me. Jesus, you love me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You can just sit down and get loved by him. No. A lot of times it's easy for Christians to say, I love you, but, you know, Peter said, I love you, I'll never deny you. John said, the disciple who he loved had his head on his breast, he's talking about himself, he didn't leave the cross, he stayed with him till the end. You know, to know that you're loved by him is better than anything. You know, we can all say we love him, but and we do because his love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and we freely give out of what we receive. But, oh, to know that he loves us. Oh, thank you. Yeah, in your presence is fullness of joy. One time I said, God, I just would like to explore what fullness of joy looks like. Oh, look out. You go ahead and ask him that and watch what he does. Oh, my goodness. I used to minister to a bunch of really crabby, grumpy, cantankerous, curmudgeous Christians. I know that should be an oxymoron that shouldn't be, but perhaps you know somebody, don't look around, but you know somebody. And one of these very crabby Christians came to me and she said, I think you're a phony. I said, oh, why is that? And she goes, nobody's that happy all the time. I think you're faking it. And I thought this inside, I promise I didn't say anything. I thought, real crabbiness or fake joy? Which would I prefer? But I didn't say it to her, I promise. And her friend said, why are you so happy all the time? You know, it sounded like an accusation, so I just went inside to the secret place and said, Jesus, why am I so happy all the time? And suddenly I got hit by wave after wave after wave of his love for me. I mean, I went down under. I was like, blah, 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 blah. I was gone. You know, they're standing there waiting for an answer, and I am gone in the glory of his love for me. And you know, I finally pulled myself out. I said, because he loves me. You know what the guy said? He said, you act like you believe it. Well, I want to confess this morning that that's my problem. Oh! I really believe it. Oh, I decided to believe everything he said is true. Why not? Oh, but, you know, the word that has really been on my heart this morning is freedom. because, you know, freedom's really a good thing. You know, it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Yeah. We experience that this morning, but just as Pastor was saying, you know, we really can experience His love and freedom moment by moment, everywhere, you know, in our trucks, in our cars, and at the job, anything. We really can. It's really true. I've been playing with that and exploring that, and I found it to be true. You really can experience His joy and freedom all the time. It's really true. You know, it says the one the Son sets free is free indeed. Whew. Jesus said in John chapter 7 that, you know, if we continue in His word, we'll be His disciples, and then we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So we've got, you know, we've got the Holy Spirit bringing us into freedom. We've got the Son setting us free. We've got His truth, and His truth is, you know, the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, we've got all of this working for our freedom. I just decided that it's kind of important to God that we be free. And then I read, it says, it was for freedom's sake that He set us free. And I marveled. I just was taken aback. I said, wow, You set us free just to be free. Just for freedom's sake. You did all that work to set us free just so we'd be free. Not set us free so we'd be good Christians, set us free so we'd be good evangelists, set us free so that we'd be good teachers of the word or a good pastor. Not free to do anything, free to be free. And so I asked Him, I said, that's absolutely marvelous, God. Why is it so important to You that we just be free? You know what He told me? Want to know what He told me? Yes?
Come back to the next service and we'll tell you.
No, this is what He said. He said, free people make the best lovers. Yeah. Ah. Have you ever tried to love somebody who was unable to receive love or give love? You know, bound up in the past, or maybe been that person. You know, and you can't receive love, you can't give love. I met a man one time. He'd had 40 years of post-traumatic stress disorder. And I mean, his life was horrible. His mother locked him in a closet when he was a small boy, and she would chase him around the house with a knife. You know, so you wonder why he had PTSD. So he had this horrible upbringing. He was traumatized, and all he had was anger and rage in his life. And then he got married. Ha! You know how that went. And so after some years of marriage and they had children, the wife became a Christian, and then she was just fed up. And somehow she talked him into coming to the Bethel Healing School. Now, that was a miracle in itself. And so, you know, he came, but he was out in the lobby, and he was calling her on the phone. He goes, I'm done here. I mean, these people are crazy. Hallelujah, yes. And says, I'm coming home. I'm done with this. She said, would you give it one more chance? So he walked into the auditorium, and we're doing a prayer time, and I happened to be available. I didn't know this man. He was just this big, angry, muscular guy, and he came up to me, and he said, will you pray for me? And all of a sudden, the Father heart of God just rose up inside of me. I wrapped my arms around him, and I just hugged him. And he began to weep and to sob. And what he said afterwards was, he'd never, ever felt love in his life, but all of a sudden, the love of Father God came into his heart, and he said, it left. Whatever it was, gone. 40 years of PTSD, gone. Just with the love of God, the love of the Father pouring in. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He sets us free so we can receive love. That guy got freedom and love in one instant. I mean, I really like that because I hate counseling. I mean, I hate counseling people. I mean, counseling is great, and I love counselors, and I love them doing their job. But the counselors at Bethel tell me that my job is whack 'em and stack 'em. They go out, Holy Ghost so saves, heals, and delivers, and they come up different. I like that method personally. And so, you know, I was thinking about this, that, you know, just the whole aspect of freedom. When, you know, when Jesus says in John chapter 7, if you abide in my word, if you continue in my word, if you remain, that word is abide, and it's the same word that Jesus uses like 14 times in John chapter 15. You know, abide in the vine, abide in my love, abide in my joy abide in you, all of that abide. It's a powerful word. And this has to do with that fact that we can experience his presence anywhere, anytime. Because that word abide, it does mean remain and stay, but it also means to be here now and be present. I'm going to be present in your love, in your truth. I'm going to be present in your freedom. And see, present is a really important thing. This word for abide, I've been sharing for a couple of days here, and I really like it here. I mean, I feel like I've met kindred spirits. I feel like I'm at home. I feel like this is my people. I like this place. There are people who get extravagantly overwhelmed by the presence of God sometimes, and I like that. Oh, Jesus. But the word abide, I'm really a Bible nerd. I look up words all the time. I dig things up in the Bible. And so I look up Greek words and Hebrew words, and the word abide, it means to be here now, be present, but it has these three references, you know, with reference to time and space and everything. And the first reference is, it means to be here now. But it means, you know, to be present, not to be tempted or distracted by the regrets of the past or anxiety about the future. No, I'm going to be present now with your love, your freedom, your peace, your joy. I'm going to be present. I'm not going to get my distraction to go to the regrets of the past or the anxieties about the future. That's the first reference place. The second reference place is, it has to do with endurance. I'm going to stay present through time as I walk forward. Not, I have my quiet time, now I'm running into my day. No, I'm going to stay present with you step by step by step. We can really do this. We really can. And the third reference is that I'm going to be present. I'm going to stay me here now. Not distracted with comparison to other people or trying to be like somebody else. No, we have the freedom to be us here now, present with God, completely removed from the regrets of the past, anxieties about the future, comparison to others, and just to walk step by step here now, present with Him. We really can do this. Whoo. It's a good thing. You know, there are a lot of distractions. Maybe you haven't seen them in the world, that there are distractions all around. They're really there. I just want to let you know there are distractions out there. This is why my abiding place, my home, is in Him. In Him I live and move and have my being. in him is my home. This is my safe place, my hiding place, my real place is in him. In him. And in his kingdom, and his kingdom in me. You know, the kingdom of heaven, it's not like this faraway place we go to after we die. Heaven is all around us. It's everywhere. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is right at hand. It's right here now. But he also said, don't look over there or over there. The kingdom of heaven is where? Within us, right within us. And see, there's this amazing verse. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. Because in chapter 3, he's talking about Moses, you know, being in the presence of God, and he just glowed, and it freaked people out. I love it when my glowing freaks people out. One time I was with a friend in the forest, in the United States, and we were walking through the forest, and we're just talking about Jesus. We weren't trying to work up a glow, you know, let's get glowing. You know, we're just talking about Jesus, and we stumbled upon a coven of witches in the forest. And this one lady, this witch, she goes, "Who are you guys?" And I said, I'm Chuck. This is my friend Ben. She goes, "No, you're glowing." Hallelujah. Yes. Because we're in the presence of God. We abide in his presence. We live in his presence. So one of the ladies who picked me up this morning asked me if I wake up laughing. I said, "Yeah, mostly." Sometimes I laugh in my sleep. He keeps me happy. In his presence is fullness of joy, and I choose never to leave his presence. I mean, why would we? It's just distraction. Okay, so in is this making sense? Everybody doing good? Y'all okay? I'm on the other side of the world, and I didn't know that it was daylight savings time ended last night. So it was a different time when I woke up, and we just had daylight savings, but we just went from winter into, you know, springtime into summer, and here you're going into the other end of the spectrum. And so, you know, where we were springing forward, you're falling backwards. And it's like, what a marvel. But he's here, no matter where we are. Okay, in verse 14, it says, you know, their minds were blinded. You know, these ones who couldn't handle the glory, the glowing, their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Oh, and that's where I live, and so there's no veil. Ooh, no veil. Hallelujah. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Okay, sometimes it feels like we're veiled to, you know, to truth, to what's really happening, and we're so distracted by, you know, what's visibly happening. And this is why Paul says we don't look at the things that are seen, we look at the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are passing away, the things that are unseen are eternal. You know, those unseen, I mean, that's just so ridiculous. I'm looking at the thing I can't see, but it's really what we do. Because we've got his word, his truth, his promises, and so we look into those things. And the things that are, you know, so distracting and taking the world's attention, all that stuff's passing away. But I live in an eternal truth. And so it says when one turns to the Lord, and I always thought, because it says the veil's taken away in Christ, I always thought, oh, if I just look to Jesus, the veil is taken away. But what he actually says is, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Oh, I just look to the Holy Spirit, and oh, where is he? Oh my goodness, oh, he's right in here. And I just look to the Spirit inside myself, and there's no veil. No separation. There's liberty. There's freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So that's what we're doing. That's what's happening. That's the joy of our Christian life. This is why we're filled with joy. So in the next chapter, it says, you know, even in verse 3, even if our gospel is veiled, okay, sometimes the whole good news, the kingdom of heaven, everything that's around, it seems veiled. You know, there's heaven is everywhere around me, but I don't always see it. But I want to know it's here because he says it's here. And I'm going to honor his word, and I'm going to act like it's really here because he said it's here. God, I just choose to honor everything you say in your word. I don't have to have, you know, intellectual assurance that it's here. You say it's here, and I'm going to go, okay, this is my reality. Heaven is here, and I'm going to live and move and breathe in you, in this kingdom, in your kingdom, okay? So he says, well, let's just hold this, and I'll jump into another scripture, because sometimes scriptures just, they just take me to other scriptures, and then I come back to them, and I mean, I love the way that works. It's all interwoven. So I'm going to take us to Galatians 1:13 for a second, where it says, he delivered us from the power of darkness, and he transported us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, how much work did I do in that sentence? Beep. Zero. He did it. He saw me under the power of darkness, took me out unto himself, and he placed me in the kingdom of the Son of his love. He placed me into the Son of his love and placed the Son of his love into me. And it was all a setup. He did it. And I was reading this one time, and I was delighted by it. I mean, being transported is absolutely wonderful. I took a 16-hour flight from the USA to Melbourne and then preached 3 sessions immediately upon arriving on Friday. I want to beam here next time. Transport me, Jesus. I'm still working on it. But I was reading that one time, and I just went, oh, God, this is so amazing. And he said, I want you to look at it again. What were you delivered from, and what were you transported into? So I looked, and I said, oh, I was delivered from, oh, a power, the power of darkness. But I was transported into a kingdom, the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, a power and a kingdom are not the same thing. And church, too many times we talk like it's the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light, and they're equal, and they're fighting. Which dog's going to win? The one you feed, you know, the white dog, the black dog. I maybe heard that story before. Not so. This thing is not a kingdom. This is power, strength, might, but what is it? It's the power of darkness. It's only the power to keep you in the dark. That's all it is. And that's where we jump back into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says, even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. He's put blinders on the minds, those who do not believe, the minds of unbelievers, the minds of unbelieving believers even. Ooh. Is that, you get that? Did you get that little joke? He blinds because the whole world is, it says in John, 5:19, the whole world lies under wickedness. Now, wickedness is, that word doesn't just mean moral impurity, though it means that. It also means, it means full of striving and performance, you know, this great effort to try to get out of the situation of being under darkness, okay? Too often the church, because we've grown up under this world, retains that mindset of striving and trying to be holy. Anybody ever tried to be holy? Yes, anybody? Raise your hand if you ever tried to be holy. Okay, how did that work out for you? Ha! You know, under the old covenant, you know, there's this mindset of the world where if you do this, this, and this, you become holy. And when you blow it, you kill some animal and shed blood, and then holiness is reapplied to you, and you keep on working it out. Praise God, we have a new covenant. Oh, aren't you so glad? And it's a better covenant. Shoot. Under the new covenant, when God says, be holy, for I am holy, it's an impartation of holiness. What's the name of that spirit he put inside us? Holy! That's all the holiness there is in the universe, and he gave it to us as a gift. Suddenly, we've been made holy. Woo! I mean, this is good news. I think that's what they call it in the book, the good news. Ho! And so, the God of this age, who's that guy? The God of this age? Yeah, the enemy, it's that guy. Okay, he's the one that puts blinders on so people don't see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So people don't see that heaven's really all around us, and it's a glorious kingdom, and it's everywhere. So he's put blinders on. So we grew up under blinders, and we think, you know, where's heaven? Oh, maybe when we die, I'll get there. You know, I'm going to strive to try to be a good Christian. It's all a lie. And see, that's what his blinders are made up of, because he doesn't have power to create anything. So he uses lies to blind us. And the lies, the common lies, are lies of lack and limitation. Everything I'm not, everything I can't be, everything, all the, I'm not good enough, don't have enough, can't be enough, not enough money, not enough, you know, this, not enough that, not enough talent, not enough good looks. For the Christian minister, not surely not enough anointing, not enough training. So we strive under the not enoughs to try to get to be enough, when in reality he delivered us, say delivered, from the power of darkness, and he transported us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now in this kingdom, in 1 John, it says we have an anointing of the Holy One, and we know all things. We're already anointed enough. We already have enough. We are enough. We're everything he says we are. We have a new identity. We're a new creation. We're God inside a human form. And this is a glorious thing. And so we need to realize, and this is what I've asked him. I said, God, I just want you to show me every area in my life where I'm still thinking under lack and limitation. Because I want to break agreement with that, because that's all part of the mindset of this world, this striving world. And what I found is that, when we get rid of that lack and limitation, it's very real when we're looking at facts and figures and bank accounts. I mean, how many of you, when you look at your bank account, you see there are not quite enough zeros at the end of it all? Not after the decimal point, before the decimal point, we need more zeros. Okay, there is an economy in this world, and you hear all people are freaking out about the world economy. But you see, I live in a different kingdom. I'm not under the power of lack and limitation. A kingdom is a different thing. A kingdom is an orderly system for the prosperity of its citizens. That's just darkness to keep you in lack and limitation. This is an orderly system for your prosperity, for you to prosper, for your soul to prosper, for whatever it is. Be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. For not just, blab it and grab it, get more stuff. It's everything is generous in this kingdom. It's a kingdom of abundance. There are no limits in the kingdom of heaven. And this is why miracles happen here. Over here, you don't have enough money. You want to start a business. You want to build a new church. You want to, you probably have plenty of money to build a new church, go up 10 stories, no problem, right? over here, God gives us vision that goes beyond what we have here all the time, because it's supernatural vision of a supernatural kingdom. And so we would do missions trips and ministry trips that took way more money than we ever had. But we did it from this place. and from the economy of heaven. This is a story I tell a lot of times, but I'll tell it to you guys because I don't think I ever told you guys. We were coming back from a missions trip, and I had a team of, 100 people, and we had a bunch of vehicles and trailers and, all of this equipment. We'd been 2 weeks on this missions outreach, feeding thousands and thousands of people. And for all of our team to get back across the U.S. to our home, we needed $1,000 for, just gas and all the stuff we needed. And I had the rest of our money, this is the end of the trip, in my pocket. So I'm driving this Suburban, pulling a trailer, and I give the envelope to a man sitting on my right-hand side, a young man. I said, hey, count that. We need $1,000. So he pulls it out, and it's $100 bills, and he counts them, and there are 8 of them. He said, well, there are 8. I went, no, we need 10. Count them again. So he counts them again. He goes, there are 8. I went, no, we need 10. Count them again. Four times he counted them, there were 8. I said, no, we're going to look into the abundance of heaven. Now, I don't know how to do that. We're looking through the windscreen down the highway, but it's a posture of the heart. We're looking into the abundance of heaven instead of the lack and limitation of what we have. And the fifth time he counted them, there were 10. Ho! Go ahead and try that with your wallet. Ha! our vehicles get a certain amount of gas. I don't know how you measure gas. We do it miles per gallon or, whatever. We get, so one entire winter, our car got 320 miles to the gallon. Normally it would get 30 max, because it just didn't run out. In these outreaches, we feed thousands and thousands of people, and we haul all this food, produce and meat and everything to make these incredible meals. And it's, we go to these pagan festivals, and we feed pagans, and I love pagans. Pagans are so pagan. They make no pretenses. They're pagan. But most of them have never met the body of Christ, the presence of God in human form. Some of them went to churches, but nothing was happening there. And they thought, I tried Christianity. That was boring. And now they're trying all kinds of occult things. And so we go, it's called the Bread of Life Kitchen. We go as a body of believers, and we set up a camp for 2 weeks in the midst of 30,000 pagans, right in the middle of them, in the National Forest in the U.S. It moves around every year. And my wife and I did this for 20 years. We led teams. And we'll set up this camp, and we'll feed people. We just feed thousands of meals. We haul all our food in. You have to use these gurneys to haul it into the forest about 2 miles away from where you park. And everything's happening in a national forest. And we build a fort in the woods, this camp. And we build a worship gazebo and a kitchen. And just creativity. We build swinging couches. And I don't know if you know Robinson Crusoe, but it's like his super fort in the woods. That's my favorite part, is building the fort. And then we feed thousands of people, and a lot of the camps there, they feed rice and beans because that's what you can take into the woods. You can get a lot of food out of that. But we figured this is the kingdom of heaven. And so we feed elk steak fajitas for 400 people, sweet and sour duck. Honey mustard wild boar on a bed of rice. I'm from Colorado. We're all hunters, and so we've got all this wild game frozen. We bring it in, and we make these incredible meals. And so when we make a meal for 400 people, 1,000 people show up because they heard elk steak fajitas at the Bread of Life Kitchen, and everybody comes. And so we'll be serving. And, these big 20-gallon pots, and we're serving, and you just look people in the eye, and you give them love, and you serve them love, and then all of a sudden you're scraping the bottom of the pot. But the queue goes on for a quarter mile off into the woods still, and you just, and so this happens every single meal. This is hundreds and hundreds of times for 20 years. You're scraping the bottom of the pot, you see the line, and you go, yes, Lord, multiply it. And what I'll do is, I'll hear this voice, and this voice says, you should give smaller portions and it will go farther. Something rises up in me and goes, no, my God's a God of abundance. And so I'll put the lid partially over the pot so I'm not looking at the limitation in the pot, and I'll scoop out these giant helpings for an hour out of an empty pot and until everyone's fed, and then you look and there's no more food. I mean, how does he do that? I have no idea how he does that. It's called a miracle. But see, in this kingdom, it's a kingdom of abundance. There are miracles. Miracles happen in this kingdom. Over here, you're stuck with what you got. I don't want to live with what I got when he gives me plans for what he's got. I want to live by his economy, in his mind. We have the mind of Christ. And so I've chosen to live over here. And yes, the God of this age blinds us. He puts lies of lack and limitation, but we've got to rip those off every time that we start to see that. Every time you make a plan and you go, I don't quite have enough for that plan. You just got to go, whoa, I'm breaking agreement with that one. Okay, God, you have a plan. Go ahead and blow my mind with how you're going to do it. Blow our minds. One time, this young man at BSSM, he was a student, and I'd gotten to know him. He served in the healing rooms, and I saw him one day, and I said, hey, how are you doing? He goes, I had to quit my job. I had two jobs going, and I was trying to do school, and I wasn't making it, and I realized I had to quit my jobs, but I don't have any money for the rest of the year. I said, give me your wallet. He gave me his wallet, and I went, and I blew in it and gave it back to him. He went into class, and within 20 minutes, I got a text from him, and I said, you won't believe what just happened. His brother, who is not a Christian, lived in Texas, and we're in California, and who mocked him for going to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, texted him and said, I've been thinking about you, and you know what? I just feel like I want to support you for the rest of the year with this much money every month while you're at school. Ho! How does God do that? I have no idea. He's just wonderful. He's wonderful. And so, you know, if we're living only in a rational world, in a rational, logical world, we'll be stuck with the rules of a rational, logical world. But we've been delivered from that. Say, delivered. Delivered. We've been transported. Say, transported. Transported. Into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And all of a sudden, we're in a different world, different kingdom, different environment. And this is where we live and move and have our being. And I see we're in the red zone right now. Oh! So that's enough. Oh, Jesus. There's an impartation in the room to believe for the impossible. Yep. Yep, to say no limits. Yep, we are more connected with a kingdom that's invisible than we are to the visible facts of this world. You know, people say that I'm in denial. Yes, I am denying the authority of this world to dictate who I am and what I can and cannot do. I am in denial. It is true. But I am absolutely believing that everything God says is true. And I'm going to step forward, and over there, when somebody's got 4-stage cancer and 2 weeks to live, they die. Over here, they live. Woo! And so, if you're facing any impossible situation, it could be financial, it could be medical, it could be, you know, health-wise, it could be relational, anything. If you're facing an impossible situation, please stand up. If you want to break through from that impossible situation. Okay? Shoo. Yep. Because that impossibility is like a steel wall in front of you. And you can't break through it by yourself. But I'm going to ask you, as you face this wall of impossibility, I'm just going to ask you to take a step forward right into it. Right into it. Now, for some people, just like Jesus, you're going to end up walking right through the wall. It's going to be awesome. But for some of you, you're going to press up. Your nose is going to be pressed into the wall. Your hands are pressed into the wall. You can go no further. And the enemy wants you to look at that reality and go, nope, I got to go back. I can't do this. But God says, no, just wait. Just wait. I want to ask you to just look down to your right-hand side. And there's a button there. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead and just push that button and see what happens. Just put your finger out, do a prophetic act, push that button. Oh, all of a sudden, an elevator door opens to take you into the third heaven. Step into the elevator, please. See, every impossible situation is an encounter with God in the third heaven. And so we can turn back in fear, or we can take a step forward beyond what's possible and have an encounter with the living God. Whoops, she just went to the third heaven. Boop. And that encounter can look like anything. It might look like a dramatic, you know, out you go, tranced out. Or it can just be a posture of your heart that all of a sudden you're connecting with limitless possibility instead of impossibility. And so right now I just release an encounter into the third heaven. In healing for those who need healing, in miracles, signs, and wonders, yep, in health, divine health for those who need it, yep, for those who need provision, yep, an encounter in the treasury room of heaven. I've been there, and there is no scarcity there. It is just packed with provision that wants to come to you, yep. And we declare right now that we've been delivered from the power of darkness, the power of lack and limitation to rule over our minds, hearts, bodies, finances, health, everything, marriages, relationships. Yep, we break agreement with the limitation of this world, and we say yes to you, having transported already us into a kingdom that knows no limits, an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom of abundance. Where the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, you've come, Jesus, for us to have life and have it more abundantly. And I declare abundant life coming into finances, coming into marriages, coming into families, coming into health, coming into businesses, coming into every area that God has given us stewardship. We now bring those areas under the kingdom of our great God and King, of the increase of his government and peace. There's no end. He has no lack, no lack. No lack. And I just declare abundance pouring into every circumstance and situation and every impossibility broken open with the abundance of heaven in your mighty name. And we don't even have to know how to do it. God, blow our minds. Go ahead and blow our minds. We're going to come together with testimonies of miracles happening because you are blowing our minds with what is possible. You're going to take us on a journey that we can't even imagine. You know, our Christianity has been, you know, it's been this old beat-up car that we've been just trying to keep it going. And it's interesting that F1 racing is here in Melbourne because really that's what we're supposed to be driving. Our Christianity is one of those fast cars. Powerful. It's more powerful than you know. It's better than a Ferrari. It's better than, you know, any other vehicle. It's a supernatural, our new creation life is a supernatural entity. And so we thank you, Father, for that. And I just release the peace of God to guard the minds and hearts of every person here who's facing an impossibility. And now you can step into that impossibility with a peace that you don't understand. Why do I have this peace? You have this peace because you're in a different kingdom. You're under a different set of standards. And God is moving on your behalf in something new and bold and mighty and wonderful is about to break loose in your life. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.